Okay, we're beginning here, six lines down on the top of Vava Medalev. Just to review what we saw yesterday in the conclusion of Rabbi Akiva's Shita, we know from the Mishnah Nigaim that there are actually four levels of Marot Nigaim with regards to whiteness of the Nigaim. The top of those is the Baheret, which is white as snow. Then the one below that is the Tzemer Lavan, which is the Se'et. Below that you have Tzira Echal and Krum Beitza. Those two are known as Tzapachat. That's how the Mishnah in the game lays them out. As far as what Rabbi Akiva's Shita is, it is a Machloket HaRishonim, which we concluded with yesterday. We'll just quickly review the different Shitot as to what the position of Rabbi Akiva is in the conclusion. And then from there, we'll go forward with the Gemara today. Now, all the Rishonim agree to the fact that when it comes to the Baheret and the Se'et, which are the two Avot, the Shelag and the Tzemer Lavan, that they're able to be combined, that they are Mitzdareif. Rashi brings it on the previous Amud, as well as in today's Amud. Tosafot in the previous Amud mentions that Rashi says it and agrees with that. And the Ramban also agrees to that, that the two Avot are able to be Mitzdareif. That is based on a Midrash Halacha that is found in Torah Kohanim. So everybody agrees that Sheleg and Tzemer Lavan can be combined. And that's based on that Midrash Halacha that is found in Torah Kohanim. The question that arises in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva is, what does he believe beyond that? The basic tenet of Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that this is a hierarchy, and that each item can be mitzdareif with the item that is adjacent to it, because it is a hierarchy. Now, Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Akiva's Shita is the following, that when it comes to these different gradations of white that we're speaking about, each one can be mitzdareif with the one that is next to it. The Gemara had asked why we only had a problem, according to Rabbi Akiva, when we put him in our Mishnah, with Sidei Chal, and not with Krum Beitza. Gemara's answer to that question is la'sa'etu la'sapachat, that there is an additional sapachat that is associated with sa'et. The way Rashi reads that is, Baheret has no secondary item below it, has no tolada. Sa'et has two toladot. One tolada that is the sira'ichal, and the other tolada which is krum beitza. Then that will explain the position of Rabbi Akiva as to only why sira'ichal would be a problem in the Mishnah and not krum beitza. And that is that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Fi Rashi, the two avot can be mitzdareif to each other because that's the Torat Kohanim. As far as Baheret and anything else besides Tzemer Lavan, it cannot combine because it's more than two stages away from them. And it's also not a Tolada. It is not a derivative of the Sheleg. And for that reason, Baheret stands alone, except for the fact that it can connect with Tzemer Lavan. Now, Tzemer Lavan, which is the second gradation of color, has two toladot. It can, of course, connect with Sidhei Chal, but it can also then connect with Krum Beitza, even though it's two stages away from it, because both Sidhei Chal and Krum Beitza are toladot of Tzemer Lavan, according to Rashi. And that will explain why, if we followed our Mishnah, which then divides them into two tracks of an Avin HaTodah, Beheret, that connects to Sidhei Chal, and Se'et, that connects to Krum Beitza, why there would be a problem for Rabbi Akiva. The way that we are learning now, Krum Beitza is not a problem at all, because Krum Beitza is a toladah of Se'et. So given that it's a toladah of Se'et, it can connect to Se'et, even though it's two stages away. And therefore, there's no question about Krum Beitza. The only question that arises with regards to Sidhei Chal. By Sidhei Chal, what is it going to connect to, according to our Mishnah? If you follow the Mishnah that divides it up, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can only connect to the item that is next to it. In addition, you can only connect if you are in the same track, meaning in the Baheret and Sidhei Chal track, or in the Se'et Krum Beitza. And Sidhei Chal has neither of those. It is not in the track that is connected to Tzemer Lavan or Krum Beitza, and it's also not a Toledah of Se'et. And so therefore, if you combine Rabbi Akiva's Shita with the Mishnah, it wouldn't work out. But without the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva's Shita is the following. That Krum Beitza can connect with Sidhei Chal because it's one level above it. Krum Beitza can connect with Se'et because it is a Toledah of Se'et. And then Se'et obviously can connect with those two below it, the Toledot. And Baheret connect with Se'et, but Baheret can't connect with all of Toledot. That is Rashi's view within Rabbi Akiva. The Balei HaTosafot, the Ramban, and many others are critical of Rashi's position because it seems to indicate that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the basic layout. And Rashi himself says it later, of Shtayim Shein Arba, which is that Beheret has a Toledah, as well as the fact that Se'et has a Toledah. He is saying now that Rabbi Akiva is a totally different view. That leads to the position of the Balei HaTosafot, who say that Rabbi Akiva fundamentally agrees that there is a toledat baheret, which is sidaychal, and also a toledat se'et, which is krum beitza. But Rabbi Akiva believes that only something adjacent to it can be connected or mitzareif, that is, one after the next, you can be mitzareif if they are close to each other. But the pasuk gives us a special dispensation with regards to krum beitza, because it says se'et usapachat, that it's mirabeh, the fact that a toledat, even though it's two stages away, can connect to its av with regards to se'et and krum beitza, because the pasuk specifically gives us that. So that's the way the Balei Tosafot learn. The Ramban, taking up the position of the Balei Tosafot, but giving more understanding to the position of Rabbi Akiva, says that Rabbi Akiva basically fundamentally disagrees with the view of the Chachamim. And the way the Ramban terms it in the simplest of forms is, he says that the Chachamim believe that there are two different series of colors, which means that there's a color known as Sheleg, and it has a lower form of that brightness, which is known as Sideichal, and that's one color of white. There's another color of white, which is Temer Lavan, and it has something that is duller than that, which is known as Krum Beitza. And each one has within it things that distinguish it from its Toledah by the brightness or the dullness of the white, but it's the same color in those two tracks. But in that way, you have two parallel tracks that are dealing with two colors of white, each one with its primary color, and something that is duller than it. Hildan, according to the Ramban, Rabbi Akiva believes that all four of those are not different colors, but they are hues of the same color. And that means that there is only one color white, and each of these items is a different hue of that color white. And that's why they're able to be mitzareif one to the next, is because they aren't different in color. And that's why Rabbi Akiva believes each one of them can connect to the one next to it, because they're all different hues of the same color. The only exception where you can jump two tracks is the situation in which you have the ribui from the pasuk that says se'et sapachat, which allows you to say that both the se'et can connect with the krum beitza and not just with sedheichal. And that's because even though it's two steps away from it, so it's a hue that is significantly different, where you might not think to mitzareif it, the pasuk comes and includes it. As opposed to the chachamim who believe that these are two different colors of white, and within each color of white, there is a different hue, so you have two in each of those two parallel sets. So based on that, the Ramban believes that Rabbi Akiva's Shita is simply that they're all mitzareif one after the next, and that is because they're different hues of the same color. So those are the three different approaches we saw within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And now the Gemara asks the question with regards to Beheichan Shmein and Rabbi Akiva, Zol Mala Mizo. Where do we hear in Shita of Rabbi Akiva that there is this hierarchy that each one that is adjacent to the other is mitzareif? Or another way to phrase it is, how do we know that av and tol olada are not the determining factors in terms of tziruf? Or according to the Ramban, how do we know that this is all one color with different hues that allow them to be mitzareif with each other? Ilema mahad Daniel, if you want to suggest that it's from the following braita, Amar Rabbi Yossi, she'al Yoshua benosh Rabbi Akiva mi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's son, Rabbi Yoshua, asked him the following question. And from the nature of his question, maybe we'll be able to surmise what the position of Rabbi Akiva is. Rashi over here claims that this Rabbi Yoshua is Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha that is found all over Shas. And as I called Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, Hakireya Chazeh. And therefore they say Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Tosafot throughout Shas rejects this view that Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha is actually the Rabbi Yoshua mentioned here, who is the son of Rabbi Akiva, because it doesn't make so much sense that they would call Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha based on a term that is less than complimentary towards Rabbi Akiva, and have the great Godel Rabbi Akiva be known as Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, and that's the way he knew Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot throughout Shas believe Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha is a different Chacham, and that Rabbi Yoshua over here, who is the son of Rabbi Akiva, who then would not be mentioned so actively or often in Shas, was because he passed away when he was younger, and therefore he's only mentioned a couple of times in Shas. But nevertheless, given the conversation that Rabbi Yoshua had with his father, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara wants to try to surmise from this that this is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Mipnei ma amru marot nigaim shnayim shehein arba'a. Why did the Mishnah tell us that the marot nigaim are shnayim shehein arba'a? By the way, this is one of the proofs of the Balei Tosafot and the Ramban Neged Rashi, that even Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this idea of Shnayim Shehein Arba'ah. Amar lo, so Rabbi Akiva responds to him, Imlav mayumru. So Rabbi Akiva says, if they didn't say this, what would you like them to say? As Rashi says over here, he's trying to clarify the nature of his son's question. So here, Rabbi Yeshua explains what he meant. Yomru, mikrum beitza ulamala tameh. They should have said that from the level of krum beitza and upwards is considered to be tameh, meaning that krum beitza is that of eggshell white, is the dullest form of white that would qualify for a nega that is tameh, and then everything above that would qualify to be tameh. Amar lo, so Rabbi Akiva responds to him, lomar shemitztarfim zeim zeh. Comes to teach you that they can connect one to the other, meaning that even though you're right that there are all of these dargot that go above it, it doesn't mean that they're all one color of white. There are actually distinguishments between them, and given that distinguishment, each one of them you would have thought might be independent. Along comes the Mishnah to teach you that each one is mitzaref one to the other, and that teaches you that not that they are separate colors in the whites that are found to be whiter than krum beitza, nevertheless, they are mitzaref to each other. And not when they are two gradations away from each other. Or for the Ramban and the Balei Tosafot, it means not only are the avot mitzaref, but even the toladot are mitzaref to each other. So amar lo. So then Rabbi Yeshua says back to his father, Rabbi Akiva, v'yomru. So then you can phrase that in the following manner. As Rashi notes over here, you always should teach your student in the most succinct manner. So why go through all this shnaim shein arba if you could just say it in the following manner? Mikrum beitza ulamala tameh. From the level of white of krum beitza and upwards would consider be tameh. Umitztarfim zeim zeh. And they are mitztaref to each other. So now you capture the 2 points you wanted to make in shnaim shein arba. And so then why can't you do that in this more succinct form? Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva responds to him, lo malacha kol kohen sheinu baki behen, to teach you that any kohen who does not know these different shades of white, ubishmotehem, and what they are called, einu ro'eh anegaim, he's not permitted to see a nega. The Balei Tosafot point out over here, the kohen himself does not need to be an expert. There is a gzeret ha-katuv that only a kohen can declare someone to be tameh or tahor with regards to negaim, but the expertise could be provided by a consultant. There could be an Israel consultant that helps him out and guides him to do that and tells him what to say. So many have a girsa here in the Gemara that leaves out the word kohen, but even if you keep it in, it doesn't mean the kohen himself needs to know it. It means that that knowledge needs to be available in order for someone to deal with negaim. So now the Gemara from this wants to conclude as to what Rabbi Akiva's shita is. Ve'ilu misida yichalu l'mala lo ka'amar. The fact that he didn't say misidu lamalo is indicative of what Rabbi Akiva's shita is. Midul amarle, and since he didn't mention it, shmamina deshmile the Rabbi Akiva, he knew Rabbi Akiva's position was damar kulu behade se'eit mitztarfim, that everything connects with the se'eit. Now Rashi the shita to says that if you wanted to suggest that beheret had a tolada and se'eit had a tolada, then Rabbi Yeshua should have sent to Rabbi Akiva, you need to tell me about the two bottom items. You have to tell me that mikrum beitza ulamala is tamei, as well as misira echal ulamala is tamei. Now obviously, if krum beitza is tamei, then sira echal is tamei. The only reason to repeat both of them or to say both of them is to show you that there are two different tracks. And each one of these would be a tolada of the av. Again, for the avot to be mitzareif, that's a given based on the Torah Kohanim, as we suggested before. But as far as which tolada belongs to which av or what the connections are, Rashi says that if you just write mikrum beitza ulamala, then I would have automatically assumed that there are two avot, beheret and se'eit, and that there are two toladot, krum beitza and sireichal, and I would have assumed, like we have suggested in Rav Kiva's position, that both krum beitza and sireichal, which are subordinate in color to se'eit, would be toladot of se'eit. Why would you have one of those be a tolada of beheret when se'eit sits in between beheret and those colors? So the most logical way to read it then would be that when he says mikrum beitza ulamala, and he's delineating krum beitza as being the threshold by which the whiteness is enough to be tamei, it's also telling you that we have beheret, se'eit, and se'eit has two derivatives which are krum beitza and sireichal. That's what you would have concluded. Had, on the other hand, you mentioned that mikrum beitza ulamala is tamei, and misireichal and the mala is tamei, Rashi says misvara. From logic, we would have then understood that there were two tracks. And that was telling us that Krum Beitza is a toledah of Se'et, and Tzidei is a toledah of Beheret. The fact that he didn't specify them separately leads us to the conclusion that there is only one Av that has toledot, and that is Se'et. But Beheret has no toledot, and that would be the source for our understanding of what Rabbi Akiva's position is. For the Balei HaTosafot and for the Ramban, the mention of Krum Beitza is to tell you that only Krum Beitza has this special status as a toledah that can connect with its Av that is two steps ahead of it. But that means that Tzidei Echal does not have that special status in order to be connected with its Av that is two steps above it. So the absence of a mention of Tzidei Echal would lead you to the conclusion as to what we thought Rabbi Akiva's position was before. And since he didn't mention it, Shmamina the Shmile the Rabbi Akiva, he knew Rabbi Akiva's position was Damar Kulu Behade Se'et Mitzdarfim, that everything connects with the Se'et. Now, both according to Rashi, that happens because the Se'et connects to Beheret, which is an Av and one step above it. And both Krum Beitza and Tzidei Echal connect to Se'et because they are Toledot of the Se'et. On the other hand, for the Balei HaTosafot and the Ramban, the reason everything connects to Se'et is because Se'et is one step below Beheret, and the Avot we know connect. Then Se'et connects to Tzidei Echal because it's one step below it. And then Krum Beitza connects to Se'et because Krum Beitza is a Toledah of Se'et. This would be the conclusion from what we thought Rabbi Yeshua was stating in the position of his father, Rabbi Akiva. V'deoma, Mar says, how are you so certain? Se'et v'toledata, Beheret v'toledata. And the way Rashi explains it over here, maybe that's what he meant. When he said, Krum Beitza l'mala, yes, he's giving you the minimum threshold as to what is a white that would be considered tamei for Nigaim, but he didn't want to go on, as Rashi says here, the Gemara uses this term in other places, to be a Tana that just goes on listing things after the other. What he meant with Krum Beitza l'mala was Krum Beitza l'mala and Tzidei Echal l'mala. I mean, that he meant to say both of them, but he just didn't go through the full length of saying that. And how do you know, just because he said Krum Beitza l'mala, which happens to be true, that's the lowest form of white that is Tamei, how do you know that he did not also mean to say that Tzidei Echal l'mala, and to delineate them separately, and not say that there's only this idea of Krum Beitza? For Rashi means that both Krum Beitza and Tzidei Echal are toledot of Se'et, or if the Ramban and the Balei HaTosafot to say that only Krum Beitza is considered a toledah of Se'et, where it would match up with it, unlike that of Tzidei Echal. Ella, the Gemara says, okay, we'll have to try a different source for this. Meet the Rabbi Chanina. Dama Rabbi Chanina, Mashal de Rabbi Akiva, Lema Hadavar Dumeh. This concept of Rabbi Akiva, what is it similar to? La Arba'a Kosot Shel Chalav. It's like four cups of milk. Echad, Naflu L'Tocho Shtei Tipim Shel Dam. One of them, two drops of red or blood fell into it. Ve'chad, the next one, Naflu L'Tocho Arba Tipim Shel Dam. Four drops of blood fell into the next cup. Ve'chad, Naflu L'Tocho Shmona. And then one had eight drops of blood that fell into it. Ve'chad naflu l'tocho shtei misrei tipim. And then the next one had 12 drops of blood fall into it. V'har milan, some say shesh esrei tipim, that it had 16 drops of blood that fell into it. Obviously, the latter shita is seeing this being a multiplicative sense, which is you have 2, 4, 8, and then 16. So it's doubling each time to change the nature of the color. And the Balei HaTosafot explained, the one who says 12, says as the redness of the item gets redder and redder, you need less to incrementally affect it, and therefore you don't have to go from 8 to 16 to incrementally affect it, you just have to go from 8 to 12. Shukulan marot lovenhein. They all are considered to be hues of white. Elisha zeh lemala mizeh zeh lemala mizeh. But they hierarchically are different colors of white depending on how much red has been placed into them. So what we see, this actually is a very strong proof to the position of the Ramban, which is that Rabbi Akiva's Shita is really that everything is one color of white, but they're just different shades or hues of the color white. Whereas Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot have to learn the way that they do about the fact that each one is just a small stage away from the other, meaning that there is a hierarchy in color over here, depending on the whiteness that is associated with them. So now from Rabbi Chanina's statement, it seems that Rabbi Akiva believes that these are all considered to be white, and each one is just one step away from the other, and that would be mitzdareif with the white that is closest to it. Gemara says, Imer d'shmaile de Rabbi Akiva bepatuch. That might be true with regards to Rabbi Akiva's shita with patuch. Now patuch is a word that means mixture or blended. And that is what we're speaking about here. We're speaking about the tzarat, the nega that is mentioned in the Torah, which is Adam Demet, that has a redness to it. And there, Rabbi Akiva might speak about this idea of there being gradations of red or white in the mixture. But who says that he says that when it comes to Bichaluk, Mishmaitle? When it's just a pure white, how do we know that he believes that? When you're talking about something that has been, call it discolored, or has taken on a different coloring because red has been added to it, then you could speak about gradations of a color. How much red was mixed with the white, then you could talk about gradations of color. When you're speaking about white itself, who says that those are just gradations of white? Maybe they're actually different colors and totally separate. So how do you know that Rabbi Akiva, even if he believes that Patuch is a hierarchy, how do you know that he does that by white or pure white itself? What are you going to say? It's a logical extension. Just like he says it by the mixed color, the blended color, he'll say it by the pure color. The problem is, how do you even know that he said it by Patuch? Vahatznan or Vahatanya, it's not clear here. It's a little different than the Mishnah that's found in Nigaim. But in Perek Aleph Mishnah Bet in Nigaim, we have a Mishnah that mentions Rabbi Akiva, not in the exact words that we have here, but that would explain Rabbi Akiva's Shita, and there it's not even clear that he believes that Patuch has this type of hierarchy, because the Mishnah says, HaPatuch, the mixed Nega, which is Baheret Levana Adam Demet, that is Besheleg, when it's mixed together with the white of snow, K'yayin HaMazug Besheleg, it's like having diluted wine mixed together with snow white. HaPatuch Shebasid. And when you want to know what the mixed color of seed is, Kedam HaMazug VeChalav. That is like diluted blood that is mixed with milk. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So over here you have the Tana Kama, Rabbi Yishmael, saying that the difference in the blended colors here between that of Sheleg and that of seed. And remember, Sheleg and Sid are two stations away from each other in terms of hierarchy, and that Sid is a Toleda of Sheleg. Now here he's explaining to you what's the difference between Sheleg and its Toleda, Sid Aicham. And the answer is in the nature of the whiteness and the redness that is mixed there, which is that they both have a white and red mixture to them, but the brightness of the color changes. And that is that when it comes to Sheleg, it is snow white mixed together with wine that is diluted. And when it comes to Sid Eichal, it is like blood that is diluted, mixed together with Chalav. And by the Av, the Sheleg, the white is more pronounced and brighter, whereas by the Toledah, the Sid Eichal, the red is more pronounced or brighter, and that gives you the variation in the color for these two mixtures. And that is the view of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, and this is what the Mishnah Negaim says, Adam Dam Shebazeh Shebazeh. The red in both of those. Both of those refer to what the Tana Kama said, which is Sheleg and Sid. Yayin HaMazug B'mayim. That is like wine that is diluted in water. Ela Shel Sheleg Azah. But that which of the Sheleg, the snow, is brighter. Vel Shel Sid Dehahe Meimena. And that of the plaster is duller than it. So here you have a machloket within the Rishonim as to how to explain this view of Rabbi Akiva. You can see in Rashi over here, he says, "Kegon tibat dam bechalav umarhem lo adom velo lavan, okayan mazug v'svibato lavan." Rashi says it's like a blended color when you mix the colors together. So the colors themselves are not the brightest or full colors because they are diluted. When we're speaking about here, we're speaking about either diluted wine or diluted blood. The Rabbi Akiva says it is diluted wine that is inside of white. And as Rashi says over here, that like when you dilute wine, the redness of the wine in the water is red in the middle, but leaves on the outskirts or the outer rim water that is not colored yet by the red. And similarly over here, it's a mixed color by which you have red in the middle, and then there's still whiteness on the outside. And that is the view of Rabbi Akiva. And the difference between the Sheleg and the Sid is how dull that whiteness is that is on the surface or on the edges of the mixture of the blended colors. So for Rashi, according to Rabbi Akiva, the red and the white remain distinct within the coloring, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina, who believes that it is a reddish color, a reddish hue, that is mixed with white, and therefore that changes the brightness or dullness of that red, but it is a completely red color. Then Rabbi Akiva believes that the red and the white remain somewhat distinct in this nega, and that it's as if the red is embedded inside of the white. Many others believe just the opposite of Rashi, which is that Rabbi Hanina is saying that the colors remain somewhat distinct over here. And it's Rabbi Akiva who believes that colors here are completely blended together. And the Ramban, the Shitato, like he said before, says that Rabbi Akiva believes that you don't have different colors here, but you just have shades or hues of the color red. And the Ravid says it the most clearly for those Rishonim, which is that Rabbi Hanina basically says that the white and red remain intact, whereas Rabbi Akiva thinks that the white and red blend completely over here. But in either case, you see here that Rabbi Akiva believes that there are gradations of the color, but the major problem is that that Mishnah in the Gaim, or if you think it's a Braita because the wording is slightly different, says that there is Sheleg and then Sid. According to Rabbi Akiva, where is there a jump like that from Sheleg to Sid that doesn't exist in Rabbi Akiva's Shita? Rabbi Akiva goes Sheleg, Tzemer Levan, and then Sid. Why is there any connection between Sheleg and Sid HaYichal? And that is the Gemara's question. I'll read quickly through what the Lashon HaBraita is in the Gemara. V'atani Rabbi Akiva Omer, Adam Dam Shebezeb Shebezeb Kayayna Mazuk B'mayim, Asher Beheret Azak Sheleg V'shel Sid Deha HaYimeno, V'imita Shel Tzemer Deha HaYimeno Mibayilei. Why does he say that Sid HaYichal is the next stage below Beheret? The one below Beheret should be Tzemer, should be wool. So now, the Balei Tosafot over here say the Gemara could have just answered that he was just speaking in the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said something, and he's just directing his comments at Rabbi Shmuel, but not that he believes that that is the hierarchy. The Balei Tosafot say, in Ochanam, in the end, they could have answered that, but they came up with a different answer because of the bright of Rabbi Natan, which is, Amrei in Ochanam. You're right. That is the way it should have been written in the Mishnah. The Mishnah should have said Sheleg and Semer Lavan, and not Sheleg and Sid HaYichal. V'hatanya. And we have a braita that supports that emendation in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Natan Omer, Lo Shema Rabbi Akiva Shel Sid Deha Himena. Not that Rabbi Akiva said that Sid was the next level down from Sheleg, Ela Shel Tzemer Deha Himena. Rather, Tzemer is the duller color that sits below. And in that way, if you amend the Mishnah, then it would read for Rabbi Akiva, now that we see, at least in Patuch, that we have a source for the fact that Rabbi Akiva believes that there is this hierarchy that goes one by one from the Mashal of Rabbi Hanina. And this Mishnah would actually then be a proof to that, and not a disproof to that view within Rabbi Akiva. But that only helps us with regards to Patuch. It doesn't tell us necessarily that that is true, or that is the source for Rabbi Akiva's positions with regard to Chaluk, with regard to pure colors. Unless you say that it is a logical extension like the Gemara proposed before, which is just like it's true by Patuch, could also be true by Chaluk, but that is not Mokroch. Okay, now the Gemara moves to discuss something that we really needed to know beforehand, which is this hierarchy between the Beheret and the Se'et, and how the Gemara knows which colors those are referring to. Gemara says, "Umi nolan de Beheret azahi." How do you know that Beheret is the brightest white that you can have? Amar Abaye, Amar Kra. Vim Beheret Levanahi. It says if the Beheret is white, he Levana, Vein Acheret Levana. He is a mute. To tell you that this is the whitest of the Nigaim, there is nothing more white than that. Tarabanan, Beheret Amuka. The Beheret is the deepest of them. Vechenhu Omer. And that's what it says, Umar Eha Amok Minaor. That its appearance is deep on the skin. Kamere Chama Amuka Minhatzel. Just like the bright sunlight looks deeper than the shade. Now Rashi explains over here, we saw this Rashi earlier on yesterday's daf, that when it comes to a contrast in coloring, when you have something that is a dark color and then a lighter color that sits on it, that lighter color always looks deeper than the darker contrasting color around it. So when you have bright sunlight that has shade around it, that bright sunlight looks deeper than the shade that is around it. And based on that, it's only its appearance. It's not that it's physically deeper. We don't have any requirement here about the nega be depressed into the ore or down in the ore. The only requirement we have is that it appear deeper. And that has to do with the brightness of white that is associated with it. Then the Gemara says, then when we take se'et, the word se'et, ain't se'et elegvoha. Se'et means high up or elevated. V'cheinu omer, and they quote the pasuk in Yishayahu, v'alkol he'arim haramim, on all the lofty mountains, v'alkol ha'givaot ha'nisaot, and on all of the exalted hills. So you see the word means, se'et means to be elevated. And so as Rashi explains over here, elevated means that the less bright white that you are, the higher you look, the less contrasted you are with the color around it, Therefore, the less deep the depression looks, and again, in appearance. So the brighter the white, in contrast to the color around it, the deeper it looks. The duller the white, the less deep it looks. And that's how you know that Se'et comes after Beheret, or Beheret is the whitest, and then Se'et. On the other hand, the Raivad takes the Gemara over here of Se'et very literally, and says that the appearance of the Se'et actually will look elevated vis-a-vis its surroundings. So as opposed to the Beheret, which looks depressed or deeper than its surroundings, the Se'et actually will look higher or elevated vis-a-vis its surroundings. The Ramban on the Parish on the Torah, where he disagrees with Rashi's interpretation of Amok Min HaOr, says over here that normally when it comes to lighter colors, they do not look deeper than the colors around them, with the exception of a Beheret. The Beheret, because it's such a bright white, or it's such a distinct white, then only that color looks deeper than the areas that surround it. But otherwise, there is no such concept of it being deeper or appearing deeper. And therefore, he rejects this view of Rashi that the gradations of deepness are determined by the brightness of white. He says it's only true of the brightest white, not of the other colors. Sapachat. Ein sapachat ela tfeila. Sapachat means, as we mentioned before, an addendum or something that is secondary to. And it says, by the curse that comes to Beit Eli in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, Ve'amar tzvacheni na, that the descendants of Eli, who are going to be dispossessed of the Kohanah Gedolah and Ming Main Kohanim, they're going to be begging of the other Kohanim to attach them or to bring them in as part of their family so that they can eat something, that they have something to eat. So Ashkechan Tfeila the Se'et, we found that the word there is a tefillah, a secondary item to Se'et, because the way the Pasuk lays out is Vadam Kiev or Besero Se'et O Sapachat O Beheret. So Sapachat is associated with the Se'et. Le Beheret Minolan. How do we know that Beheret also has a Tolada or a secondary item? Rabbi Zera Nemra Levana B'Se'et V'Nemra Levana B'Beheret. It says that there is white by the Se'et and white by the Beheret. Ma Levana Mura B'Se'et Yishla Tefillah. Just like the whiteness of the Se'et has a secondary hue or shade to it. Also, with regards to the Beheret, it has a secondary color. But basically, it's saying that there is this parallel structure in the two parallel tracks with regards to the white. In a bright, though, we have a different way of learning it. The word Sapachat appears between Se'et and Beheret in the Pasuk. To say that you read it attached to both of them. There's a sapachat to the Se'et, and there is a sapachat to the Beheret, to teach you that there is something that's tefel to both of them. And that's the source for this idea of these two secondary tracks. Now, according to Rashi, all of this is the shitat chachamim that the Gemara is asking this. It's tefel beheret minel in the Rabbanan called Bo'ila. According to the Balei Tosafot on the previous Amud, and the Ramban and others who believe that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this idea of Shnaim Shein Arba'ah, this question is not only according to the Chachamim, but also according to Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara continues. Se'et k'tzemer lavan. The Se'et is like white wool. My tzemer lavan. What's white wool? Amar Abibi, Amar Vasi, tzemer naki ben yomo. It is wool from a young lamb on its first day of birth. Shemichavnino bo, that they actually cover up or encapsulate it, the melat, for very fine wool. Or in other places, melat means silk, but I think it's not because the silk and the fine wool are synonymous, but rather they're both materials of significant cost. And therefore, the Gemara uses the word melat to mean both of those. But the fine wool comes from, as the Gemara in Shabbat describes, that animals go around and they have these coverings on them to protect the wool of the young lamb so that it doesn't get dirty or soiled in any way. And they preserve that over the growth of the animal, and then they shear it to get this extremely fine and soft wool. So that's the type of white that we're speaking about. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mashal de Rabbanan, the Mad Davar Domeh. Mashal de Rabbanan, what is that similar to? How do we explain these two parallel tracks that we discussed in the Rabbanan that you have in Avinat Toladah and Avinat Toladah? It's Domeh Letrei Malche, Letrei Iparche. Similar to two kings and two governors. Malcho Shel Zeh, Lamalami Malcho Shel Zeh. The king of this empire is greater than the king of the other empire. Your parcho shel zeh, the malami parcho shel zeh. And the governor of this empire is greater than the governor of the other empire. Mar says, Haile zeh, the malami zeh, vizeh, the malami zehu. All you've done is really given us a hierarchy which says that the king is greater than the other king, who is greater than the governor, and that governor is greater than the other governor. It doesn't divide them into two parallel tracks. It just tells us that there is this hierarchy, which actually sounds much more like Rabbi Akiva, than it does like the Rabbonon. Ela Malko Shel Zeh Lemala Miparchei Denafshei. This king is on a higher level than his governor. Malko Shel Zeh Lemala Miparchei Denafshei. And similarly, the king in this empire is greater than the governor in his empire. So there are two different empires, two different tracks. And in each track, there is a king and a governor. And that refers to an Av and a Tolada. And each Av and a Tolada have their own independent frameworks in which they work. And that is like the Mashal of the Rabbanan. Should just know that we mentioned it yesterday, that there was a Shita of the Raivud that suggested that when it came to Baheret Se'et, and then Sidei Echal and Krum Beitzah, that actually Se'et and Sidei Echal were actually on the same level. They were the same whiteness, but they were in the different tracks. One was a Toleda, and the other one was an Av, and that had to do with the texture was actually the difference between them rather than their coloring. And so over here, they have a slightly different girsa in the Gemara to make that work, but that would also explain why the Gemara after here is looking for a Mashal to explain the Rabbanan's position in order to differentiate between you can have a governor and a king who are on the same level, but they're in two different worlds, and therefore they have two different tracks or two different hierarchies. Vadarbava Markigon, a better way to explain it is, Malka v'Alkafto, the king and the viceroy, or the Mishneh Lamelech, Rofila v'Reish Galuta, and the governor or the general, and the exilarch. Hai zeh l'mala mizehu. Again, you just described to me a hierarchy, which is that the king is the highest, then the second to the king, the viceroy, then the general or the governor, and then the exilarch. That is a hierarchy that is linear in nature and much more similar to Rabbi Akiva's position than the Chachamim's position. Ela, kagom malko rufila, velkafto v'reish galuta. The rufila, the general or the governor, answers directly to the king, even though the alkafto, the viceroy, or the Mishneh Lamelech is on a higher standing or stature than him. So even though there's a Mishneh Lamelech, nevertheless, the general answers directly to the king or to the emperor, and the Reish Galuta, the exilarch, answers directly to the Mishneh Lamelech, even though the general or the governor is on a higher plane than him. So each one has their own, quote-unquote, fiefdom, and of course, the Mishneh Lamelech has to answer to the Melech himself, but nevertheless, there are certain individuals who answer directly to the king, and others who answer directly to the viceroy, despite their differences in stature, and that's what's being described over here, that the exilarch answers directly to the Mishneh Lamelech. That would be the equivalent of Krum Beitzah and Se'et, and the Alkafta answers directly to the Malko, and that would be the equivalent of Sidei Echal to the Shelek. Rav Amar, Kivon Shvar Malko v'Kesar. The equivalent of comparing the Persian Empire to the Roman Empire, the king of the Persian Empire versus the emperor of the Roman Empire. So here, two different emperors, two different empires, and each one of them has their own independent hierarchy. And similarly over here, Baharat and Sa'id have their own independent hierarchies that work within their parallel categories. I'm going to Papa the Rova Haminayu Adif. Which one of these is greater, the Persian king or the emperor of the Roman Empire? Amalei Bahushaya Ka'achile. He says, I don't believe this. This guy must have been living in the forest for the last couple of years. He has no idea which is greater, the Roman Empire or the Persian Empire. Where has he been all this time? Does he have his head stuck in the sand? An alternative to the explanation of Rashi, which is Korshaya refers to a forest, you can see here in the Oruch, says, Harash Mash Perish B'Shem Rav Hai Gaon. And if you look down in the Beinu Chananu, it explains, Perish Maka Ochelet Lecha Beinecha. You must have had some eye disease that didn't allow you to see, that you're unable to discern which is the greater empire. Or it could be a reference to the fact that when you did something that was an affront to the king or the emperor, then they used to poke out your eyes, similar to what Nebuchadnezzar does to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Pochazi tiva deman sagi ba'alma. Go out and check whose currency is more accepted in the world or whose currency is more dominant. And it's clear that the Roman Empire and the Roman currency was much more widely accepted and widely known. The Roman Empire was significantly greater than the Persian Empire, even though the Roman Empire never really succeeded at pushing further east and dominating the Persian kingdom. There were many battles between them, many of which the Persians won, but nevertheless, they still were a much greater empire than the Persian Empire. And you can also see it from the pasuk that is quoted from Daniel, which is, that they will consume all of the lands, all of the world, and they will trample on it, and they will crumble beneath them. Am Rabbi Yochanan zo Romi chayevet. That refers to the evil Roman Empire, Shitiva yatza b'chol yom olam kulo, whose currency or fame has stretched out across the whole world. So Rava says to back to Rapapa, how could you be asking such a question? The answer that Rashi says is that Rapapa saw that the order in which Rava said them was he said first Vormalka, and then the Kaiser or the Emperor of Rome. So by putting in that order, he thought, okay, I know that Rome is greater, but Rava is putting the Persian Emperor first. The answer as to why he did that was because he lived under the Persian dominion. And he had to have respect for the king, put the Persian Empire or the Persian king before he put in the Roman Emperor. For that reason, he put it in that order. There are those that want to suggest that was exactly the exchange between them, which is Rapapa asked, why did you put the Persian Emperor first? And that's what Rava responds to him. Has this person been living in the Dark Ages? Does this person not know that we live under the Persian dominion and therefore we have to put the Persian Emperor first? It's not a statement about who's greater or who's not greater. It's out of respect for the kingdom in which we live. Now, Ravina Amar brings a different mashal. Kagon glima damar v'shachake. It is like a woolen garment and its worn down counterpart. Sadina de kitna v'shachake. Or a garment made out of linen and its worn down counterpart. So wool and linen obviously are different whites or different colors completely. But their garments that are new versus worn down are just different shades of that white of linen or the white of wool. By the Tosafot over here, note from Rashi and other places in Shas, that actually the worn down garment is actually whiter than the newer garment. And so he says here, when he says in this order, it's not in the order of its whiteness, but rather in the order of its value. Obviously, a newer garment is worth more than an older garment, even though the older garment be whiter. But the idea being that there are two separate tracks of white. There's the woolen track and the linen track, and the two don't cross over each other. And a subset of that would be, either if you read it, that the worn down beged, or the other way around. The newer beged, vis-a-vis the worn beged, would have a different vibrancy or brightness of white, but those would be within their own categories. And yes, there are two colors of white here. There's the wool color and the linen color, but then within their category, they have different shades that are there, similar to the Shita of the Rabbanan. And again, this really backs up the Shita of the Ramban, who says in these cases that the Rabbanan, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva, believe that there are actually two colors here. Then within those colors, there are different hues or shades, versus the Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that it's all one color of white with different shades of white. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet.